Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
All right, welcome back to WGN Nightside. It's Dave Plyer.
And my name is Elliot Bambra. I am free and allowed to talk for myself.
You are tonight, absolutely.
Daddy Dave.
All right, so all of Dick Wolf's Chicago TV franchise shows this week, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago Med, have all been renewed. And this season has had record-breaking ratings for Wednesday nights as they're all on one night now, Chicago 1. Harvey, Illinois' own LaRoyce Hawkins stars as Officer Kevin Atwater on NBC Chicago PD. He's back in studio. What's up?
What's up? How we feel?
I am feeling great, man. You say dog much cooler than I do, by the way. I sound very white when I say dog.
Yeah, man. It's because you don't pronounce the D-A
dog.
Or the G.
D-A-G.
You pronounce the D-O-G.
I do.
Which is, you know, it's a totally different word when you think about it that
it's
way.
It's embarrassing for myself.
I say even worse because I'm English.
I
just say... Good Lord, young man. How was your dog this afternoon?
forget about it.
Is he well walked?
Yeah, forget
about
it.
Is he well rested?
Yeah, forget about it.
I'm trying to set up a...
Do your thing. Do your thing.
But I'm prepared. How are you?
I'm good. You had a big month. Big show. Some great episodes with you at the helm earlier this month.
Thanks, brother. And I'm always grateful for when they run those plays through me, man. You know, especially being from Harvey.
Yep.
One of the few characters on the show that's actually from Chicagoland area. I find it a powerful responsibility to do my best to make sure I add balance and authenticity to, you know, everything that we do. And a couple weeks ago, we had an episode that involved a narrative that we're all familiar with in Chicago, and Laquan McDonald. And it was a soft reflection of that. And naturally, my character went undercover and learned a lot, I think, about himself. In that episode, especially, and I think in learning about himself, he revealed things to other people, whether you be a white cop or a black cop or, you know, a liberal or a conservative. I think it was something in that episode that you could connect to that that helped you realize that it's not sweet. It's not sweet out here. It's a war going on a little bit.
But you said now, like, you know, they pass things through you a little bit. So now your character was dealing head on with racism. So how do you prepare for an episode like that?
Well, you know, it takes some digging deep. I remember what Eric LaSalle usually directs.
Yeah.
These heavy ones, right?
Yeah.
And his enthusiasm, honestly, is what kicks off. And it's been a pattern. Because I remember when I had a big episode with Mekhi Phifer, that was like season 5, and Eric LaSalle directed that. He called me, and his enthusiasm behind the Mekhi Phifer grab and the script itself was like, oh, this is a big deal. And so anytime you get a man like an Eric LaSalle that you admire that can call you and be like, are you ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And every time I hear that in his voice, it's like, okay, this is a big deal. I remember reading the script.
Yeah.
And by the time I was halfway through it, I was like, oh, this feels like the most important episode of Chicago PD history a little bit.
I mean, you pull from the headlines, obviously, in the show quite a bit.
Yeah, and so, and also, this is one of the first scripts that was that was written by a black writer on Chicago PD at this capacity. It was a shared effort with Rick Eed, who is the showrunner, but also on Ike Smith, who is a black writer from the west side of Chicago who I like to think infused as much of his energy and authentic Chicago textures into the vibe as possible. So when I knew that he wrote it and that Eric LaSalle was directed it and that it was something that we could really give to the culture that would help them just learn a lot about both sides of the coin, I said, well, yeah, this is, I gotta dig deep for this one. And so
you're involved in the wardrobe too, I mean, a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I did something that was kind of unprecedented, Dave. Unlike the only other people who I saw pull off what I was able to pull off are Will Smith and Martin Lawrence themselves. And I'm not talking about Bad Boys. I'm talking about on Martin Lawrence, you got to, on Martin's show, you got to watch him wear Air Jordans all the time. On Fresh Prince, you got to watch him wear Air Jordans all the time. On this episode of Chicago PD on NBC.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was able to rock the Space Jams, which is one of my top five favorite movies.
But, well, you were on, well, you were undercover, too, so they allowed you to be a little more flexible once you were aware.
You were undercover for the aliens, or you were undercover for bugs?
I was undercover for the vibes, Jack. But this is what happened.
Yeah.
And so I was so fortunate, and this I know it was a vibe, because I was fortunate to have the mics already in my possession, because by the time that we actually shot that day, the mics weren't out yet.
Okay.
But fortunately enough for me, I had just done an Instagram gig for Foot Locker and the House of Hoops.
Okay.
That helped
me
get the Space Jams.
Yeah, neat.
Because I was the host of like the Concord Classic this year.
Yeah, those aren't cheap, are they?
No.
No.
And so quite naturally, I probably would have overdrafted to afford
$45
them anyway.
For me is too expensive.
Too expensive?
Yeah, anything more expensive than Chuck. I live in Chucks. That's all I wear. Like how much the Space
Jam? That's a quality shoe, brother.
Thank you very much. I can play basketball as well professionally if I wanted to. Chuck did it. I can do it too in these.
I could have
flat feet by the end of it.
You're like 5 foot two, though.
So here's my thing. You're clearly
look at Dee Brown.
You're clearly a proud man from Illinois. You love you love Chicago. You love Illinois. Who are the worst people on set for disrespecting the food, the culture? You don't need to be like bad, but bagging on them. But I mean, like, who's a person who doesn't understand or appreciate no ketchup on a hot dog? Who doesn't appreciate how good the Bulls were back in the day?
Who doesn't
love going to see the Blackhawks? Who are those guys who are like always ribbing on Chicago stuff?
Let me think about those people.
You got 30 seconds.
And if I can be quite honest, man, and I think this is really reflective of true Chicago rivalry. The only people who I see truly disrespecting those vibes are Cubs fans.
That's the truth.
You know what I'm saying?
You a Sox man?
I'm a Sox man, Jack.
Oh, I'm going to give you a big hug after this.
Yeah, bro. We're going to have to hug, bro. I'm a Sox man. I don't even take them off when it's time to do my thing. You understand what I'm saying? That's how much I love Sox.
You know, Sox are on the station now. We are the home of the White Sox. Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, that's love.
WGN.
I like to think that I'm a soft ambassador for the White Sox myself. I know that currently there's an organization, and the name slips me right now, but there's a sub-organization that works with the Sox that their initiative is to help minorities, black people specifically, get excited about American baseball.
That's cool.
And, you know, there's a shortage of interest in black Americans in American baseball. And me and the White Sox might do something about that.
I was going to say, you should. Absolutely.
We'll see what we can do about that. That'll be interesting. Because my pops, who is a big baseball fan, he considers himself a schoolyard legend, Robbins, Illinois.
Okay.
And what's interesting about my pops is that he had this unique friendship with Barry Bonds.
Wow.
So
how'd that come about?
Because him and Barry Bonds apparently met each other playing baseball growing up.
Okay.
And my pops was always like, had the skill, the speed, but never the strength to really like afford himself a powerful career in baseball.
Story
Barry
of my
Bonds,
life too.
Right. And Barry Bonds, however, was, you know, I guess, the way my pops would describe the stories was like his counterpart, in the sense that had everything else that it took to make it to the big leagues. And the only reason I believe my pops is because there were a few years in our childhood growing up when me and my little brother would travel to St. Louis from Harvey to visit the Giants every time they played the Cardinals. Mm. And we would show up on the bus or by the bus in this hotel room, and sure enough, Barry Bonds would like groove with us in open arms. I remember chilling with Dusty Baker back when Dusty Baker was a vibe. That's part of the reason why, you know, that's one of the reasons why I like the toothpick, and I don't have one tonight. But, you know,
I was going to ask you where your toothpick was.
Yeah, man. I'm pretty much known for like usually having a toothpick as a part of the vibe.
Should I find one?
And I remember as a young brother being around Dusty Baker, man, and I always seeing Dusty Baker do his thing.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. My little brother almost got tickled to death by Barry Bonds in the hotel room.
Like, that sounds like a great album title for some undiscovered band. My brother almost got tickled to death by Barry Bonds.
I was going to have to punch Barry Bonds in the mouth.
Tickling?
My brother's about to die from all this tickling.
So you excited? Are you excited about this White Sox season coming up?
No, because I heard
We don't need to rehash
no,
those
man,
trades.
I got my homies in transportation. They keep me abreast of all the baseball decisions.
I hope we can still be friends, but I'm a Cubs fan.
Huh?
I'm a Cubs fan.
Dave's a big-time Cubs fan. No, his son works at the Cubs organization.
He's one of the Cubs fans that I trust. You know the Cubs fans I don't trust?
Oh, the rest of them?
The inebriated Cubs women.
So you mean the rest of them?
The fans, the Cub fans that are females that find themselves inebriated a little bit. Only reason I don't trust them is because of my personal experience. I had a moment where I decided to go to a Cubs game, Dave. And quite naturally, I went with all my Sox gear on.
Oh.
As you would.
As I would.
Yeah. And
you
damn got, right.
And you know, I'm you know, so I go there with all my Sox gear. And this young lady, who is a devout Cubs fan, but also drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with all my Cubs stuff on and demanded that I get arrested.
Oh.
And at the time, the way that the police looked at me, I didn't know if it was because of my socks or the color of my skin. To be honest with you, I was like, this is going to go yeah. down either way, yeah. whether I like it or not. But after, yeah, I talked to the cops and I let them know that, you know.
Everything was cool.
Everything was cool,
everything
man.
Everything was cool. How's fatherhood treating you, by the way?
Oh, man. It's opened up a lot of things, man. My son is almost two.
That's amazing. Wow.
It's crazy, man. He's wow. almost two. And his favorite movie right now is Shrek.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You
yeah,
can turn
yeah.
Shrek on,
oh,
man.
Sure.
And my son is, he's engaged and involved and has reinforced for me how much of a goat Eddie Murphy is.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Because
now
I'm rewatching the Shrek.
I like old school. I don't know if your son's too young, but like Trading Places, 48 Hours. You know what? Mm-hmm. He's not too young. That's some great cinema there for him to take in at 2 years old.
No, listen, bro. My son Trading. Is pretty
Seriously.
Advanced. Before he was yeah. in love with Shrek, he was a big fan of The Office.
Really?
Believe it or not.
Wow. The UK version or the American version?
American version. Quite
okay.
natural.
I'll let that one slide.
Yeah.
All right, so it's Friday night. You're nice enough to come down here. So,
Thank you for having me, bro.
Does a Friday night look like for LaRoyce Hawkins? Like, this night's just beginning, I got to assume. I know you've been working all week.
Yeah, man.
And so, right?
Yeah, bro.
You don't have cold tomorrow.
It's been long, cold days, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've been foot chasing the fenders in the snow for the past few weeks.
Yeah.
And it's not, but it's fun, bro. I love it. And a Friday night, if I get one off, you know, could consist of a few things. This Friday didn't happen, but last Friday, on Everything I Like,
okay.
I had a long night.
Okay.
Started at 5:30. The first thing I did was I met John Seder at the Museum of Mexican History.
That's cool.
And I did a few poems.
Oh, nice.
For the young minds there that encourage the older heads to invest in shy arts. Straight from there, I went to the Laugh Factory.
Awesome. I'm saying this is all parts of your life. So you work during the day, you do poetry, obviously, and then you do stand up. I was going to ask you if you're still doing open mic, so go ahead.
Right. So in that one night, I went from doing poetry for the young minds at the Museum of Mexican History to going straight to the Laugh Factory on Belmont and doing about 12 to 15 minutes of comedy.
Yeah.
From there, I went to the Baseline, that's in the River North area, and I got on stage with one of my homies, D2G, and did some live music.
That's awesome.
Like, that's a Friday night for LaRoyce Hawkins.
You touched everything.
I do the same thing.
You touched everything.
I do the same thing, but basically it's just to me turning on Netflix and sitting down. But it's basically the same thing. I inspire people to make good stuff, good, you know, good art.
Yeah, bro.
Thanks for coming down, buddy.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. All right, we'll be right back.